Don't go flashy. I've seen a lot of people over the years, and it's hard. It's a hard life. You know, the first 3 years, I tell anybody, if you make it 3 years, you can make it.
In the tow truck business.
Any business.
I agree with that. So today we talked with a guy named Lynn Hurst. Lynn's a local Birmingham guy who grew up here, worked at his dad's shop growing up, but then went out on his own a little bit. When he was 23 years old, he had a tow truck and then grew that company over the last 37 years, mainly because of a guy named Floyd, which you'll hear about, but also just through extreme amounts of perseverance, how doing good with somebody and doing good with everybody will eventually come back to help you and it be extremely profitable. You will love this episode with Lynn Hurst. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate you coming on. So part of the thing with having somebody on here is you get all the good stuff before the cameras come on. And so we immediately have been sitting around talking for 5 or 10 minutes and just, we know some of the same people. And I just stopped him a couple of times. Hey, don't say that again. Let's just talk through it when we get on here. But Matt, Lynn, I'm glad to have you. Lynn is a connection through Sierra who works with me here at all the different things that we do. And I'm super thankful.
Honored. Trying to figure out why you
had this guy on here. Yeah, okay, right. So first question I ask is, who are you and what do you do?
Lynn Hurst, own Hurst Towing and Recovery Incorporated, 37 years now.
That's awesome.
So, married to Debbie. She's our controller.
Okay.
Literally.
Controls it all.
She controls it all. And then son, Craig, grandson, Liam, Hayden, my daughter, she works for me. She's our AR.
Okay.
And she has Stone, her husband, and then Noble Adeline.
Okay.
That's my
girl. So everybody, a lot of family integration in the business.
Yeah, Craig's not. Craig's got his own gig, you know, but Hayden works with me.
So tell me about, towing business. Been in towing business 30 years. Let's go back. We know you're from just north of Birmingham, Fultondale area.
Right.
So tell me about growing up. So you're a little older than I am.
Yeah, just a tad.
Just a little older than I am. Not much. A little older than I am. Still in great, great shape. So tell me about growing up and what you did, your parents, all those different things.
Yeah, mom and dad. My mom worked at the post office. My dad had a garage and body shop.
Yeah.
And so...
Okay, so you've been involved in the car like...
My whole life.
Whole life. Okay.
Yeah, and hated it. Absolutely hated it.
Perfect.
And my dad was like... race car dude, you know, loved that. And so we were raised up in that. But I really didn't care for it that much. I had two uncles, and one had daughters. The other one had a younger son. Didn't even have children at the time. Yeah. So I was like his favorite nephew. So they got kind of introduced me to ball.
Okay.
And so I started playing ball and football, which was totally foreign to my dad. He didn't understand that.
Really?
And didn't have any desire, you know, for any of that. But grew up every summer going down there working at my dad's shop and helping him, you know, and then did that until right before I graduated and had a few odd and end jobs, you know, and didn't want to be there.
Right. Didn't want to be work for your dad.
No, I painted car. I was a pretty good painter to be as young as I was because I'd grown up in it. And I just didn't like working on cars.
Sure.
And so got a job working on airplanes right out of high school.
Working on airplanes?
Yeah, just sheet metal work, you know, working on the wings and
but
stuff like
that. Body work?
Yeah.
Okay. All the experience growing up helped.
Yeah, yeah. And I was a sheet metal worker, worked here in Birmingham, went to Nashville for a while, hung out up there. Deb and I were dating at the time.
Okay.
Proposed to her. While I was in Nashville, absent makes the heart grow fonder.
It does.
You know where, you got to know where Mount Juliet is.
I do. Know exactly
so I had the plans all out that I was. We were going to live happily ever after in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. It was a government kind of contract thing up there.
Yeah.
I was low man on the totem pole, so I came back down to Birmingham, went to work, proposed to Deb, went to work for my old company, and probably 3 months after that, got laid off.
Really?
And so I was laid off for a year, bounced around, worked at a fence company, called me back. I didn't propose for it that time. I got laid off the first time. And then when I came back from Tennessee, I worked 3 months And anyhow, got laid off.
Gotcha.
And so I'm like, crap, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
And so my dad was like, come work for me. And I'm like, nah, I'm
not going to do that.
Not doing that. He said, buy you a tow truck. I said, I'm not buying a tow truck. And 37 years later.
So you get laid off, bounce around. So tell me about this first tow truck. Like, so you're what, 22, 20? No, no.
20, 23.
23 years old.
Right.
So tell me, so he says, so your dad said, "Buy, go buy a tow truck?"
Yeah. He had a, it's a car carrier now. He had one of the first ones that he had bought from the Kempses. It was a, they were a long time established business in Birmingham back in the day, and he bought one from them, and we bought it to haul logs on to build us our lake house out of it. And we rough cut lumber, built it, our cabin up at the lake out of rough cut lumber. So that's what we bought. He bought it for, and he'd haul a few stuff. And so we painted it, fixed it up, and I painted my truck. I bought a tow truck and painted it and started knocking on doors. Ended up working on tow trucks now.
So you say knocking on doors. So you're 23 years old. You start a tow truck company. How did you start it? Like, what? Like, that sounds really...
Well, I mean, you know...
How'd you get business, I guess, is the question.
Well, I didn't have any.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think, well, December 16th, 1987... I mean, January 16th, 1987 sticks out in my mind. Deb and I got married December the 20th, and I just hit the ground running. Well, I didn't have any business, and so from January to March was like starvation.
Really?
And then my dad, I was working for my dad, basically, okay. You know, trying to make it happen. And
so you had the tow truck company, but you're also working for your dad.
Just I'm working out of his place. So okay. I started it there at his place and his old place, and he had a fenced in yard, kind of cleaned up, made me some room there. He had made me a little office in the back, you know.
Yeah.
And started from January to March, man, I starved, and then March I just like I have got to do something.
Yeah.
So I just knocked on doors, you know, and did that very slow.
What'd you say? Like, I want to hear, like, I want the details. Like,
well, I don't know. Hey, I'm just Lynn Hurst, you know, my dad, because he's been down there since 62.
Sure.
You know, him and his brother started in 65. My dad started kind of doing his own gig in 62.
Mm-hmm.
And 65, him and his brother teamed up. And so I just, you know, my dad, you know, we always been around it if you need any time. And there was another little towing company out there, and man, they were smoking it with everybody out there. So
really?
I was like, he was a police officer, so he had it wrapped, you know what I'm saying? And I was just like trying to feed my family, you know, and just knocked on door. We started with AAA, you remember that?
Yeah, I did.
So AAA was one of my first customers, got hooked up with them, and started doing AAA calls. Deb was working at a mortgage company, so she was my mom and my sister and Deb would answer the phone.
Okay.
When I wasn't there, I'd go run calls at night and did that forever. One of my dad's workers was like, hey, you ought to go to the council meeting and get on the police rotation, you know, for the police department. I'm like, they ain't going to let me do that. He said, come on, I'll go with you. And so he literally...
Who went with you?
One of my guys, my dad's workers, one of his mechanics. So I'll go with you to the council meeting.
Yeah.
You got to get on the list. And I didn't think they'd let me do that because...
This is in Gardendale or Fultondale?
Fultondale. The city of Fultondale. And he said, I'll go with you. Matter of fact, I went by his place. He's got a little store up in Hayden now.
Yeah.
And I stopped by there and thanked him because he pushed me...
To do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the council meeting. What happens there?
Tell them what I'm there for, and they're like, well, we'll table it. And one of the ladies, I'm trying to remember her name, she stood up and she said, well, why don't we just go ahead and vote on it tonight? And they voted to put me on.
So they put you on the list. So when they say put you on the list.
It's a rotation list, so it's between me and another guy that was doing it.
But what are they calling you for? In case you
Accidents or impounds where they have cars left in the road or somebody's drunk or something, you know, impounds and stuff like that.
So when that happened, what happened with business?
They just started, it just started. I mean, at that time, they were very aggressive, I'd say, at policing back in that time. And so it really started some revenue, you know, from the police
department. So one guy from your dad's shop saying, go up here to this council meeting, put them up, put to get you on the list. After that, it started.
It started growing. And then I did that. You know, a friend of mine, Bill, and another friend of mine, Rodney, Bill grew up with me. And he just started helping me a little bit so I'd get a break, you know. And he would drive my dad's trucks or vice versa. My mom and my dad, my sister, she's a stud. She helped me. She literally drove a tow truck back in the day. My first nice tow truck.
Yeah.
I came back in from a call and my brand new truck was gone. And I'm like, where's my truck? And they said, Penny took it.
So she went on a run.
They just, you know, whatever it took.
Sure.
They did whatever to help me make it, you know.
So that was a pretty big first break. So tell me about you. So you bought more trucks.
Yeah, it was real slow. My dad was, I don't know, I guess that's where I get it from. So there was, back then, there was these mom and pop kind of gas stations, and they were transferring them from that to these seed stores where there'd be no tire change and no fixing, just to a convenience store.
Convenience, gas and food.
So one of my dad's friends up in Gardendale had two trucks, and he was getting out of it because he was changing it. So he called my dad, and he's like, you want to buy these trucks? He said, yeah. He said, we'll take them. So I drive in. I'm like, Dad's like, hey, I just bought these two trucks.
I got you two new trucks, son.
From Tommy Thomas, you need to go up there and pay for them. And I'm like, dear Lord.
So he bought two trucks on your dime.
Absolutely.
Love
that works. But okay. It was pretty cool. He kind of did a joint deal on them, and then we took one of them and fixed it up a little bit and sold it and put it on the balance and took a 90-day note out at the bank on his, you know, on his dime because I didn't have any really credit. And so he signed so I could.
So let's talk about this. It's always a good question. So you built this thing. It sounds like you, what they call bootstrapped. You used your own money. So you built this thing with really no real debt.
Nothing. So Deb and I got married. I thought I had a little money, but I had like $10,000 saved up before she and I got married working.
Good for you.
On the airplanes, you know.
Yeah.
And so I took all that money and bought furniture. I wished I'd have. We didn't own nothing. So I bought dryers and washers. We had this real nice white couch that I'd sleep on with my greasy clothes and totally ruined it, you know. But anyway.
With my life savings, I bought a couch.
Yeah. You know, we didn't have any furniture. Sure. And I wished I'd have been more mindful about that back in the day. But it all worked out.
So you slowly grew this thing, it sounds like. So how long were you in business before Dad bought those two trucks without you knowing about it?
Probably 3 years.
Okay, so you're rolling along 3 years. You're starting to make a little money. Are you making any money? Or are you just taking a little salary and then just turning everything back in?
I'm not taking a dime. I was very fortunate. When they laid me off, and I know this is probably not, I don't know. Anyhow, at the time I was getting unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a little severance pay because of the union that I was in.
From the airplane people.
That's right.
Okay.
And so with those two things, I was able to kind of last the first, I think it was 8 months they paid me.
Okay, that's good.
And so it kind of helped us. Where our only income was Debbie. Debbie's the reason we survived.
I was there at one point.
And with her money and her insurance.
Yeah.
And anyhow, I'll just go back. Miss Janie was a precious lady. She was the controller. She was a retired lady. And she came in and she kind of helped me set up my books.
Yeah.
And helped me with billing and stuff like that. And that was, I'm trying to remember, that was probably 93, 92. So we're in 6 years, you know. Yeah.
So how are you making your money? How are you making, is it all the police stuff or is it?
No, just individuals, AAA, individuals, local people and stuff. There's a couple of things that kind of changed my mindset. You know, the guy that I was talking about that he had all the business up there, I called him. I was like, dude, I said, we just ran into each other actually. And I'm like, hey, dude, I said, how many calls y'all do a day? He said, we do probably 20. I'm like, wow. Man, I wish I could do 10, you know. And I said, well, so you average, how much are you averaging? He said, probably $20 a call. Now, I know it sounds way cheap, but I'm like, man, if I could do 10 for 40. I would have to work half as much as he does and make the same money.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay.
So at the time, were you charging the same amount he was?
I was until that conversation. And I'm like, you know what?
You doubled your prices.
And I wanted to be different. And my wife tells you I am different. Yeah. But but I wanted to be different. You know, I went to a class in 88. I went to a towing school, and the guy said that it's a federal law that you use tow lights and safety chains. The people I was talking about earlier, I'm like, well, they were voted number one towing company in the nation. And I'm like, I don't see them using those.
Hmm.
And then I was like, this other guy, very large company at the time. So I just wanted to be different. So I started using safety chains and tow lights. My truck was immaculate. Our phone rang, I went. And I'll tell you a story, that same guy that I was in competition with, quote unquote, I got a phone call from a dude late at night, and he said, yeah, I tried to call so-and-so, and he didn't answer his phone. I was like, oh, okay, I'm cool, appreciate you calling me, which I charged more money.
Absolutely.
But I got the service, and probably 2 or 3 months later, he was in the carpet business. 2 or 3 months later, he called me again. I said, you call someone, you know, the XYZ? He said, nah. He said, you answered your phone.
You're my guy.
And he said, so I won't be calling him anymore.
Man.
And so that was the difference, is that we just, not say we, my family, we, if they called, we went.
Well, you know, we did a story on this not too long ago, Lynn, where we get called, you know, we do catering.
Right.
We get calls and emails every day of someone either wanting a huge party or a small party or whatever. But we email / we contact people back. My rule is you got to get back to them people in less than 24 hours. And if they call, you got to answer the phone. You would be amazed at the number of people that are just like, hey, thanks for calling me back.
Right.
We called 4 caterers and you're the only one that's called back. And
right.
I'm just dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. And so I posted a story about that, and I had construction guys, lawn care guys, mortgage lenders. I was listed like 5 or 6 people that are like, yeah, same thing with us. We just call everybody back. So you're another example 30 years ago of if you just call people or answer the phone or call people back, you will get business.
Right. They appreciate that. They want to be able to. And that's what we try to do, is just that people can trust. I wanted my trucks clean. And I wanted it to be clean. I wanted it to be,
right,
you know, different. Now, unfortunately, I fell in a lot of those old habits, I guess you'd say, and there wasn't really. I wanted to say I was different, but I wasn't being different. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is I just look back at some of my old pictures and realized I looked like a tow truck driver, you know? And so I really wanted to separate. And so I tried to have and Popovic, old guy, snowstorm of 93.
Yeah.
And I worked my rear end off, me and Bill and people helping me, you know?
Yeah.
For 3 days, and I come got Papa. He ran in a ditch because he wasn't supposed to get out, but everybody was kind of that. And he said, I believe this is the first time I've ever seen your truck dirty. And I said, Papa, I'm going to get you out of this ditch.
I'm going
to go wash his truck.
I'm going to go wash his truck in the snow. So what you're growing, what was the – so you started buying trucks here and there, you're growing. Was there any point in this journey – that it was like, okay, this is the landmark thing that helped us really catapult financially?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, there was so many little things, you know.
Yeah.
So in 2000, when 9/11 happened, financial setbacks, I guess you'd say, you know, the crunch was on.
Yeah.
Had to really regroup. And so my insurance went from mom and pop insurance to big time big boy truck insurance.
Why? Because you had more trucks?
The market hardened. And so back then was a company called Southern Guarantee. Southern Guarantee would, Lynn's a good guy, we'll write his insurance. Well, it wasn't profitable to write Lynn anymore.
How many trucks did you have at the time?
Probably 5, I guess.
Okay.
6.
So big business, but not just gigantic.
Yeah, no. Okay. No, I mean, you know, we were kind of normal, I guess you'd say. I mean, it was all light duty. I have to say that. We were all light duty.
What's that mean?
Cars and pickup trucks and vans and stuff like that. No heavy duties towing, okay. You know, tractor trailers, box trucks, or anything like that. My son was born, and that was a big step for us. My son was born, he's 36 now. So, how long is. So, my first good customer was Frito-Lay. And it was just through a contact of a friend of a friend. He called me and quoted. And Frito-Lay, we started towing for Frito-Lay back, and we still to this day tow for Frito-Lay. From one guy, knowing a guy that lived there.
Had him for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah.
Wow. So the economic crunch of 2001 happened.
So that really changed us. So that was a hard overcomer. So I not knocking AAA, but I went to AAA and I'm like, hey, I got to have a rate increase. My insurance just quadrupled.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, we're paying you about all we can. And so it really kind of changed my perspective back sort of like to when that other guy, when I was like, I need to charge more money. I cut out, and I know you have to do that in business. I had to cut out. Deb came to work for me. She was a nurse. We had a lot of changes through there, but Deb came to work for me, and she was helping Miss Janie, kind of backing her up with the billing and stuff like that. And we lost. We just had to regroup, I guess you'd say. Miss Janie retired. Deb stepped in the role of controller, and we just had to look at our books. Well, AAA was a very high volume, low money generator.
Yeah.
And
keeping the lights on type thing.
Yeah. And so, and I was very grateful. I told everybody I was going to be a billionaire one day, and I would still do AAA, but they would not budge on paying me any more money. And so I'm like, well, I hate to say this. And I was literally wanting to throw up because it's $3,000 a month we was generating through those guys. And I just didn't know I was going to make it without them, but I had to cut it. And we did, and we survived.
Good for you.
And so, but it took, you go to 2000 to 2007 was another kind of setback. But in those hard times, it allowed us growth. And I hate to say that, but it caused us to, anytime you, and I want to say this, the hardest things in life are the best things.
Sure.
The most difficult times make you shine if you don't allow it to defeat you.
Sure.
And so 2007 we had a setback, 2012 another setback, but it caused us to regroup, counter pennies, make sure we're doing things right. And I'm trying to remember, I think it was 2007 when I went into the big truck business, and didn't want to.
Why did you do it then?
A friend of mine, another local dude, and that's, I can't say enough about loving on people and people loving on you and trying to do the best for you and you help them do the best.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking B&I groups, but it was almost we had on B&I group, but not that's on purpose. Right. You understand?
Yeah.
Gennaro Traup, and I called him too. Gennaro was like, hey, here's so-and-so. He did big truck body work, and he's like, you need to talk to old Ray. He said he probably could give you some business. I was like, I'm not doing that. But over a year, Ray's like, hey, man, you can buy you a truck, and I could probably give you a little business. And he was one of the local guys for Ryder Truck Rentals.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay. So the guy I bought my very first truck from, I bought my first heavy-duty truck from, he was selling his. And I didn't even know how to drive the thing. One of my guys, part-time guys, was a truck driver.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I just bought this truck. Come show me how to drive it.
I got this in the back. Come help me. I'm not sure what to do with it.
And so he taught me how to drive it. And I started doing a little bit of business with Ryder. I was second vendor, I guess you'd back up to the number one vendor. And then over a couple of years, we ended up being the number one vendor for those guys. The guy that taught me how to drive that truck worked for Averitt Express. And he's like,
Averitt over in Cookeville.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So Averitt is, besides Ryder, is my second longest heavy duty company that I tow for.
Really?
And we've been towing for them ever since. And Scott runs their shop over there. He's been there ever as long as I've been doing it, you know.
Wow.
And so then one of the guys from Penske, and I want to tell a story about Floyd, and I don't, but this is, Floyd was a guy that lived in the community there at Fultondale. Some of my guys' sons did the Boy Scouts with his boys.
Yeah.
He was just in the shop. Well, Floyd, and I give honor to Floyd.
Right.
But he left Ryder and went to work for Penske.
Okay.
And I thought, man, I need to call old Floyd, you know. And but another boss man went to Penske, and I'm like, I am dying on the vine here. We were really struggling, and I think that was going to be.
Why were you struggling? What was the deal?
Well, we lost the number one vendor to Ryder. And
Ryder Towing. They were towing?
Ryder Transportation Truck, okay. Rental Trucks, yeah. So we were doing all their towing. So you want a truck and it breaks down, we carry you a new truck and pick up the bad truck, and they need a new truck that's up in Anniston, we'll go get it and bring it down for them to rent out.
And you lost that?
We lost that. We were second vendor. And so some guys, there was a lot of changing at Ryder, and I'm like, I have got to do something. So I call Billy Lawler, dear guy. I called Billy, and I was like, hey, man, didn't you go to work for Penske? He's like, yeah. He said, I wonder why you ain't called me. And he said, you want to do our towing? I said, I'd like to get a little bit of it if I can.
Yeah.
And it was just like the doors open.
Amen.
And Floyd went to work for Penske. So okay. Floyd's like, I was started at one. They have several shops, and each guy at their shop kind of picks who they want to do the towing. Yeah. So I was doing 28th Street over here. And Floyd's like, hey, I'm over here at Oxmoor. You want to start doing some over here? I'm like, sure. Sure. Well, then it blessed Floyd's heart. Floyd lost that job, and he went to INL.
Okay.
Interstate National Lease. He's like, hey, Lynn, this is Floyd. You ever do anything for INL? I said, nah, Floyd. He said, how about come down here and see us? He said, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
And we went over there, started doing business. I don't know what happened about his job situation. He goes to Ideal Lease.
Okay.
Hey, Lynn, Floyd.
Over at Ideal Lease.
I'm over at Ideal Lease. He said, can you help me out? And I said, yeah, what's
up? Are you still doing the stuff for Penske and still doing
everybody.
Stuff for INL, and then now you're doing it for Ideal Lease?
Right.
So Floyd
is golden.
So wherever Floyd goes, you're getting business.
But, I mean, we're just
praise God for Floyd and Hurst Towing.
I tell everybody, I said, do not. If Floyd Doss walks in and says, I'm Floyd Doss, you say, how can I help
you? How can I help you?
And he was just as innocent
yeah,
could be.
Yeah, no, sure.
And it was funny. He actually got his hand slapped over at Ideal Lease after about 3 years because we were smoking it down there. Man. And one of my friendly, loving competitors kind of stepped in there because he has a better relationship with the owner than I do. And so Floyd got his hand slapped for that one. But it was funny. He called me. He said, hey, can you help us out? And I'm sure, Floyd.
Yes, sir.
He said, would you go work a truck wreck for us? And so that's like a lot of money, you know.
Is it?
And it's a lot of expense, but
sure,
it's kind of, you know, I don't know how to say it in the catering world, but
it's worth it.
It's a
big lot of work, but you make a lot of money.
You can, yeah. You know, but so Floyd, bless his heart. I tell everybody, and I tell all my guys, every shop you go into, everybody you see, no matter who they are, if they're the guy that's mopping the floors, they could be the Floyd.
Yeah.
And so be good to them.
So here's what I'm hearing you say. You start out, you get laid off, you start out, and you buy a truck. And then here we are, 30. How many trucks do you have now?
22.
So we got 22 trucks now. You've had an up and down at this point. You've had a down at this point. You've had a down at this point. There's two things that I'm hearing, and this is after talking to you for 20 minutes. Relationships and consistency.
Absolutely.
Are what has made you. There's not been one just pivotal, other than Floyd, there's not been one pivotal
but
moment,
Billy,
but that's a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
So relationships and consistency, if you just keep and be nice to people and keep at it and do the right thing, obviously.
Absolutely.
You can be successful.
Yeah. Billy Lawler, who, dear friend, love him. He was the big boss, Southeast District Manager for Penske. He left Penske and went to work for Jan-Am Tank Line.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lynn.
Hey, Lynn.
I mean, and that's why I'm saying, just be good to people. You know, we're not perfect by no means, but man, besides God, and I want to put that first.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Because he's had his hand on us the whole time.
Yeah.
But you got to remember Floyd.
That's right. I always remember Floyd. I love it. So tell me about the stage of life when you feel like you worked the hardest, just absolutely worked your butt off.
my whole life, actually. Yeah. But no, you know, it changed. I had some great people that come and go, and that's what I told my daughter. You know, there's when you go, as long as I have been, and at my age, you reflect on a lot of people and how good they are. The last 10 years have been, there's different challenges.
No doubt.
Different challenges. And the biggest thing for me, I was not, I'm homegrown.
Sure.
And I hate to say the school of hard knocks, but yeah. Most of my learning experiences have been through most of the difficulties over the years. And that's where I've had growth, you know, and that's why I say the hard stuff is the best stuff.
Sure. Absolutely.
But, I had to learn as I go, but I wasn't a very good communicator. I went from, let's see, it's 2000, so I drove a truck for 13 years.
So you drove one of your trucks for the first 13 years?
Right.
Okay.
Then on a pickup truck. I went to the ball field, I went to the ball field and tow truck.
In the tow truck.
I went to church. I went to church.
But you know what? It's some of the best marketing you can do.
Well, I wasn't thinking about that. I parked in the back because I was like, I didn't want people to think that,
sure.
Honestly. But it was crazy. I had a guy that was my office guy, and we went from being hand paper stuff to computerized.
Right.
I hired this guy to come. We built a new building in 2000, moved from my dad's original location to an industrial park type area. And I paid a guy to come in and train us on how to work this. Now, I had him train my office guy for 3 days. I sat in there for about 4 hours, and I didn't want to talk to people. I was not very eloquent in speech, and I'm still not, but I just didn't want to have to deal with people. And so I trained him. Well, I made the coffee pot. I didn't even know how to work a computer at all. I'd turn it on and make the coffee, and he'd come in, and he said, "Hey, this stuff's not going to work." I said, "Well, we spent $5,500.
The computerized stuff.
Yeah. And I said, "It's got to work."
Yeah.
And what I found out, bless his heart, was that this software was going to find all his mistakes. Mm. And so it was going to be making it very accountable on his end. And at that point, I just found a lot of inconsistencies.
Mm.
He ended up God was calling him somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the day I moved out of my truck into the office.
Okay.
And I realized it was just or more important to do the paperwork.
Sure.
Than it was to drive the truck. Because my saying is I could starve at the house.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm out here running down the roads and I'm not collecting the money, doing the AR stuff, making sure that everything's dialed in, you're spinning your wheel.
Absolutely.
And so, I learned a lot about computers since.
I bet you did.
In the last 20, whatever.
And that's been the hard, that's been super hard.
Yeah, because I wasn't creative.
Because that's not what you know.
I'm not naturally that way.
So where do you, like now, where do most of your leads come from?
It's still word of mouth.
All word of mouth.
I'm not a big social media person at all, but I know that's a necessity website, but it's the relationship.
Sure.
37 years of God blessing us with some good people, the Floyds everywhere. And we've been in a great community of Fultondale, Gardendale. And now our heavy duty stuff is Birmingham Metro, Southeast, because we got a huge market there.
Okay.
Our light duty stuff is more northern Jefferson County.
Okay.
And so we have relationships for the city of Fultondale, the city of Gardendale, the city of Mars, city of Kimberly, the state troopers that way.
Okay.
And the sheriff's department. We've always kind of covered the northern end of the Jefferson County Sheriff.
And that's plenty. That's plenty of area to have a good big business.
I've never, it's funny, Hayden, who does my AR, Hayden, we flew out to a friend of mine, and I don't want to jump around on you, but Hayden kind of had wanted to step up her interest in the business. And so she said, like, how do other people do it? And I said, I don't know. I've been very fortunate. I've got friends all over the country. So I said, tell you what, I'll call my friend John Cupshin. He's at Santa Fe Towing in Aletha, Kansas. Let's go see how he does.
Yeah.
So we got on a plane, flew out there.
Yeah.
Just kind of sat around. found out we do a lot of the same things, but they had a little niche. There's a company, good props to Fleetio. There's a company based out of Birmingham called Fleetio. It's a fleet maintenance program.
Okay.
They're doing a Zoom call with them out there when we walk in the office, and he's like, shh. And he said, you know these guys? And I'm like, well, my son-in-law actually had interviewed with Fleetio.
Okay.
But it's a fleet maintenance company here. And just some of the stuff, integrations that they were doing and everything is pretty cool, you know? And so we ended up going Fleetio when we got back. I'm like, we'll check them out when we get home. But some of the stuff they do, now that he's got 85 trucks.
Oh, wow.
Seven locations.
All over.
All over Kansas, all over in right south of Kansas. But it's funny, Hayden coming home, she's like, Dad, why aren't we started about the same time. And she's like, why? What's up with you?
Yeah.
Because he's got 85 trucks. And what I told her, I said, he's went where the traffic was. And I've just kind of stayed on our end of town and kind of did our own thing. And as opportunity to ride, I've never really tried to step on anybody's toes, so to speak, you know?
Yeah.
And there's now that mindset has come across me. Where's a market I could go into? And that's a need, you know?
Yeah.
But he went to the truck traffic. So that's why he ended up with so many locations.
So let me ask you this. If you were 25 to 30, and so if someone's out there is 25 to 30, and they were in this business, what advice would you give them?
Don't go flashy.
Mm.
I've seen a lot of people over the years, and it's hard. It's a hard life. You know, the first 3 years, I tell anybody, if you make it 3 years, you can make it.
In the tow truck business.
Any business.
I agree with that.
If you can make it 3 years, because it was like after that third year, I was slinging my Coca-Colas across the shop. Like, I'm just sick of this.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, one of our customers, he's a customer of ours, his son bought some tow trucks and started doing it. And I said, son, if you make it 3 years, you'll be all right.
Yeah.
3 years to the day he started, I bought his tow trucks. And
so you bought his company?
He's like, I'm done.
Really?
Because it's just so taxing. You have to kind of be mindful. So the younger Lynn, I would, number one, put have money. I'd be more about that $10,000. Me and Deb bought that.
Sure.
White couch I made all greasy up. I probably wouldn't have did that. And I would have got some more help sooner just to take the burden, take some breathers.
So more conscious about money and hired better people quicker.
Well, yeah, and one thing that I've definitely learned is fire sooner.
Mm.
People's invested in me, and I believe in investing in people.
Yeah,
but if it ain't gonna work, it ain't.
Sure.
And so I heard, I can't think of the dude's name. I listened to his podcast the other day. He's famous, but anyhow, he was saying that how many times you gonna cut the cat off a tail?
That's right.
How many times does it take?
Yeah.
One time?
10 times, 2 times, whatever.
Just cut the cat off the tail. And when he said that, I was like, that's a good saying, because really and truly, there's, I try to be a guy of chances because I've had a ton of.
Yeah. My dad was like that.
But sometimes you just got to cut the tail off the cat.
Tell me about this. So you mentioned this briefly. Who do you think was the biggest, and I hate to use the word mentor, but who do you think was the biggest influence or mentor in this business journey? So 37 years. Now, granted, we've talked about you learn a lot, but who is the biggest mentor you've had in this journey?
There's so many. So here's another thing. I got in our state towing association.
Okay.
And so a friend, Chester Baumbarger, was down in Tuscaloosa, solid dude. I'm able to kind of have conversation with his sons that are running his company now. They're 40-year-old guys, you know, so we talk a lot. He was a huge influence, invited me to join their towing association. He invited me to the first school I ever went to.
Wow.
To learn that there is a difference between being a professional and just being a wrecker operator. That's why I started out as Hurst Wrecker, and then I changed it to Hurst Towing in 89.
Okay.
Just to try to get a different feel. About the thing. And Chester was a big one. So a ton of people. Ken Garrett up in Anniston, Oxford area. He had a Garrett's Truck Service. I bought it. Ended up, he retired. Ended up buying a lot of his equipment when he retired. Steve Will here in Birmingham.
Yeah.
Steve was a great mentor for me when I first started. The Kempses, I mentioned.
Yeah.
93, the Kempses was the largest, voted number one largest towing company in the nation. And they had about 120 trucks at the time. So God put a lot of good people.
That's great.
But, you know, he sent a lot of good people. Besides that, you know, I talked about Dick Lee.
Yeah.
Dick Lee was a Sunday school teacher when I got saved. And Dick Lee would go to a function. He was like, I didn't know what he was. He was my Sunday school teacher. But Dick would go to a function and would not hold a drink in his hand. But he didn't want anybody to have a perception that he had anything in his hand.
Right.
Drinking. You know, so a lot of people get a drink of tea or water to be just comfortable.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do that. He was a man of integrity.
Wow.
And I have a whole 3 pages of people that God put in my life like
man,
that.
That's good. This year, 2024, what's your business focus this year?
Well, we've had a lot of challenges. Last 3 years been really difficult, but so my son-in-law, who's really smart, my son, I've got Fleetio, that's a fleet maintenance program. I've got my towing software.
Okay.
And then I've got my GPS software.
Fleetio is a program.
Yes.
Okay. So you've got these three different
software. One's maintenance. One's my actual towing program. When we go do your call, we email you the receipt and
all that sort of stuff.
And then my GPS, which is Azuga. And so I'm kind of, I don't know how you say it, but just they all go to an Excel document.
Okay.
And I'm like, when I got in the business, I started figuring cost and knowing the nuts and bolts of it and everything. So I was a legal pad kind of figure.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And so that's the way I did it, was on a legal pad. Well, over the years, I have waned, and especially the last 3 years, we've kind of stepped away from it. I wanted our training for our guys and really set the bar about training and being on the top edge of everything.
Yeah.
And this year, my focus is to get my house in order,
mm-hmm.
because I had been doing that for about 5 years, going to conferences and learning all I could learn and talking to different people about acquisitions and how to best put your best foot forward and make you look. I tell everybody, it's sort of like online dating. You look real pretty on in the pictures. It might be different when you get there, but.
Right. You open the door.
But so it just dawned on me. I called my software company, the towing software guys, and I'm trying to integrate. I'm like, and they're like having a heart attack that we're trying to integrate these things. So I call Stone, my son-in-law, and my daughter, and I'm like, this is an Excel document. This is an Excel document. This is an Excel document. And I'm like, can't we make all three of these talk?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. So Stone come down, and he's a genius, bright young man. And he makes it where it's all talking to each other. Mm. And my son came in and kind of fine-tuned it for me.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get it to a pivot table, new word, so that it's a live document. So as Hayden, I've been doing it so long, it's like I just know it.
Sure.
But my daughter don't have her dad's gut.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to do it on this pivot table where it's a live document. So it, at the touch of a button, she'll know her cost every day. And I'm trying to get that going, and we've been working pretty hard on it.
So let me ask this. Why don't you sell that?
Well, I might can.
No, I know you can. So if you've got, here's the thing that you have to know, is if you've got a problem or are sitting there thinking to yourself, hey, we need to make these three, because every tow truck guy in America has probably got these three things. They got those three things that you do. If they can make all of them talk, you can create something.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably make more money than towing.
Absolutely. It's definitely, that's what I tell everybody. I said, you go in the towing business. If I walked up to Shark Tank, and national average for a towing company's that profit's 5-11%, I said, I'd never make it on the stage at Shark Tank.
Wow.
it is, God's been good to me, and we're blessed.
Tell me about this. You've got the business, you got the tow truck business. What do you do investing wise, or guess, how do you make money outside of the tow truck business, or do you?
It's funny, you know, God, I give God all the credit, but I went up the road 20 miles to buy me a hunting, a little hunt farm.
Yeah.
And I'd saved up my money because Debbie, I had to sneak away what I can from Deb, you know, because she's watching every dime.
That's right.
And we're a perfect balance because she's Dave Ramsey.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm not.
Yeah. That's right.
It drives her crazy.
Sure.
And I have to, so I know if I'm going to purchase something, I got to go find out how much the impact is for the insurance.
Oh, yeah.
How much the payment is.
You got to save it.
I got to get
buy cash, all that.
Before I go before the board, you know, I got to know all those things. But and this would have been in 05, I was going to look at get me a farm. And I got off the exit. A friend of mine called me. He said, where you at? And I said, I'm getting off the exit here at the Hayden Corner exit. He said, what are you doing up there? I said, I'm going to get me a farm. He said, well, a buddy of mine bought the industrial park land up there on the left. He said, turn left and just right up in there and see if you want any of that land. I'm like, okay. Well, my sister lives up there, and I thought, man, this might be a place for me to kind of expand to a little bit.
Sure.
And so go up there and look at it, and it's all grown up trees. I'm like, how much do you want for this? He said, I don't know, call him. He sent me his number. I called him. I took my hunting land, farmland, and put down on this 5 acres up there and bought an industrial park. The same dude calls me in 07 and says, hey, Fastenal. They're looking for a place up there. Won't you sell them? They want you to build them a building. And I'm like, you build them a building. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying. He bought a track hoe. I bought some dump trucks. We cleared it. We made the roads. We cleaned it, put a fence up. We paid as we went. And I said, you build them a building. He said, no, they want to be on your property. It's close, because I'm a little closer to the interstate.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. They bit. So to speak, I built them a building. They funded it for 5 years, extended it for another year. So we're eating down on my total debt of the whole property, you know, for this little building, you know, and just very fortunate.
Yeah.
Where my place is behind it, another guy had a warehouse back there, a friend of mine. He was trying to get out of the business, had a little junkyard, and he had rented it out to a repair place. He wanted to sell it. Deb was like telling me, no, you're not buying it. So my other buddy said, well, I'll buy it with you. And so me and him split it, and I partnered up on it. Turned in, got that little place, renting out truck rental, truck parking storage spots. And so we started parking trucks. He used the inside. I kind of used the outside, you know, for my business. Just little things.
Yeah.
And, next thing you know, we got about three or four little deals going on here and there, you know.
Do they all cash flow?
Yeah.
They do.
So, long story short, and I don't want to, that's kind of where the Buffalo story comes from.
Yeah.
But 2021, we get hit by a tornado.
Uh-huh.
Lose everything, lose my building, 16 trucks, lose the building behind me that me and my partners got.
Wow.
And just demolishes everything. Long story short, I guess about 2 years after we get it built back,
yeah,
a lot of value in the new building. I say, hey, buy me out, because I got to go down here and tend to my building.
Sure.
So he bought me out of my building. I took that money and bought a little investment property.
If you
rolled it over there, you know, and I didn't take the business 101 TED Talk stuff, but we rolled that over into a little place, and we got a little money coming in off it.
Good.
And it didn't work out on a tax-free exchange because I had it in this entity.
And you moved to another entity.
And so we had to create an entity, so to speak. Yeah. For
so you did not get to do 1031 exchange, or you did?
I did not.
Dadgummit.
I know. But, you know, we learned a lot of life lessons, and so.
Sure.
I hate it, but
you got a lot of life to live. You get 1031 something else.
Yeah.
So after the tornado, how did you get back to losing all the trucks to 22 trucks now? Tell me the process.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Obviously insurance, but like what happened?
Yeah, I was heavily underinsured, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, horribly. And my best friend is my insurance agent, one of my best friends, and we'd argue about the building and everything. And I said, I don't, it's not going to take that much to build it. So we'd argue about that stuff. Long story short, we lost, and I keep saying long story short, that's about the fifth time.
That's fine. Sorry. Yeah.
But we lost 16 trucks out of 22. I sold two, flipped them pretty quick. I had to, it was crazy. I changed from a C corp to an S corp. So there was I was in the middle of that 5 year swapping over period. So we took a pretty bad hit, selling two trucks, but I just had to get some rubber on the road, you know?
Yeah.
We started just building them, but it was back with those relationships. A friend over in Mississippi got one truck, helped me do it. The people I buy from up at Miller and Ottawa.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were phenomenal to help get one of them going that was destroyed. And so we just kind of limped along. But I had friends all over the state of Alabama come help.
Yeah.
And.
That's good. You're good. Yeah.
We just slowly dug our way out, you know.
So the people is what.
Absolutely.
What got you out of it? So tornado comes through, but the people and the relationships over the 30 years is what built it up.
I got to say this story if I can say it without getting too jacked up.
Yeah, you're good.
Kevin Goodyear, Enterprise, Alabama.
Okay.
We have our Hayden location, so he goes up there, and I get a phone call the next day. He said, hey, Kevin's carried two trucks up to the Hayden location. Keys is in them for you to use.
Wow.
Kept them for probably 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Till we can get some equipment going. I mean, so, you know, some of their people, Brad Castro, do you know about
him? No, I don't.
He's a local dude. And his daughter, they're Church of Highlands, cool people, you know.
Yeah.
And they We met them, but I knew Kevin from afar. Well, he'd come through town, but I wanted to take his stuff back. So I carried him back down there myself when we got to a position and thanked him. And he's like, man, you don't even remember. You don't remember what you done for me. He broke down at the Mississippi Alabama line at 22. We went and got his truck and brought it to the shop and fixed it. Sent him on his way. He's like, you wouldn't take it.
Oh, man.
He said, I ain't forgot you.
Man. It just goes to show that doing the right thing, loving on people, it may not come back today, it may not come back tomorrow, but at some point.
Absolutely. It's crazy.
Man, oh, man. That's crazy. Wonderful. What was the time gap between when you helped him and then he helped you?
Probably, I didn't even remember it.
Really?
Yeah. So I'd say 6 years.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I didn't
what a blessing.
I didn't remember. His daughter lived out and moved up to Gardendale. She was at UAB. That's where she met Brad. But she was going to a local church out there. And so I just told him, he'd call. We'd just randomly talk, but. She'd need her car tire changed or something like that. Then she met Brad, and so he was her knight in shiny armor.
That's
so
right.
He started to take care of her. But then they ended up getting married. But he's a good dude.
Man, oh, man. So you've talked about podcasts. You talked about this, you know, the learning part of it. Are you a reader?
I am now.
Okay.
That's another thing. I do podcasts. I do anything. And I say reader. I'm a audio book reader.
Okay, if you had two books on your desk to give to anybody, what would they be?
Wow, that's a million-dollar question. I'd have to go back and look. There's some stuff, you know, that I picked from Profit First, that guy from Profit First.
We do that.
Really?
Do y'all do that?
No, but I like some of the principles that he talks about. My son introduced me to that. He's a smart guy in a bunch. And
we've been doing Profit First for years.
Yeah, we but I take away, and I guess that's one of the best things, you know, you'd even go into Highlands College, you know, went to Highlands College and, taking stuff away from Highlands College, you know, I didn't remember the whole 2 years, but, I took away some cool
things. A lot of things there.
That helped me along the way.
All right, so a question that I got asked the other day that I've never asked on here before, but it's an interesting question, and it was a really, really hard for me to answer. If you lost all of it today, the trucks, the money, everything, what would you start over and what would you do?
I would probably try to be a consultant.
That's a good answer. Just because of the 37 years and the experience and the goods and the bads and all that.
If I did sell, you know, I've had some people that have approached us, very, very humbling, but about buying, you know, because there's a lot of young people in the game, you know, trying to, big companies, you know, that are going around buying people out like me. But I would probably be a consultant because I love what I do. All the experiences we've had have made me a better man. And I would love to help the people that are walking through what I'm walking through or living the way we live. I know it pretty good.
That's great. Before we go, I got a handful of questions I always like to ask everybody. How old are your kids?
Craig, they're going to kill me. Craig is fixing to be 36 in May. Hayden is 30.
Okay. Growing up as a business owner, what were your go-to activities with your kids?
Well, Craig played. Craig really wasn't a baller, you know.
Yeah.
I played, and it was crazy because I played ball. I love ball and stuff. And I wanted my son to play ball. Well, Craig didn't really care about it. He wanted to hunt and fish. And so we started doing that. I hadn't done that since I was young. And so we started doing that. And when he went to college, I tell everybody he started wearing Chacos, riding in kayaks, you know. It was funny because he just kind of gave up on the whole hunting and killing and stabbing stuff and kind of got into the loving nature.
Loving everybody. That's right. That's perfect.
But it's hilarious. He's got a camper van business, so he loves that. And so it's all things him, you know.
Yeah.
He builds camper vans, but Craig got into that. We got into the outdoors. And so he and I, through Church of the Highlands and Mountain Child, we got to go to Nepal and got to hike up there and serve the Lord and some the people in Nepal. You know?
That's wonderful.
So that that's all him, you know.
Yeah.
Really loves that. And my daughter is a little bit different. She's talented and sings and. Mm-hmm. She did the dance thing, but she's really singing. She's what led us to him and her and Craig both brought us to Highlands because she were doing the motions when they used to have it on every Wednesday night. So we'd take turns bringing them over and, you know, I finally decided to go and step inside the building, you know, drink Kool-Aid, you know, after a while.
How about that? So your daughter's what brought you to church here?
Her and my son, my daughter first, because my son was actually in Ecuador serving at a kids camp down there as an intern.
Okay.
And with a missionary down there. And so we were back then was Skyping with him and she's like, hey, I found us a church. And we're like, me and her, we're going to a Baptist church on the north end and we're like, she's like, yeah, we're going to go to the Highlands. You got home. He's okay.
Right.
And so they started going and so we started going just to be with them, you know.
That's good.
And Hayden's always singing. Stone plays the drums. Hayden helped. Well, when we planted the Fultondale, I say we. I feel like it was with
sure. Yeah.
But when they started the Fultondale campus, we were game on. Deb served with Sierra.
Yeah.
At Dream Team Central. And I did a set up takedown for 7 years till we got our permanent campus. Craig does the sound and Hayden helped lead
work. Wow. So just a family affair there.
Oh, yeah. Still all in. Well, I stepped back when we got our permanent place.
Yeah.
And so I'm still trying to find my group.
So 37 years, only 61. So you've got a lot of energy. What's the end game with Hearst Towing?
I don't know. Sir. You know, and it goes back to what I was telling you about Hayden when we went out to Kansas. She came to me and said she wanted to kind of step her game up as far as the business. And it's changed my perspective because I had been going to conferences and stuff and met some cool people to position the company for purchase, you know, to have your EBITDA look all pretty and make it all look good. But when she kind of shown some interest, it's kind of changed my mindset. So I'm thinking maybe expanding a little bit more.
Sure.
Looking for those places. When she came back from Kansas and said, what was the difference between you and him? I never looked for the high traffic places. I just never, and God's blessed us, but it's kind of changed my perspective, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to position it just like I would to sell it, but position it for her.
Right.
Or for Craig, you know, Lord, only Lord knows what, right, who's going to handle it, you know?
What is your margins? So what, off your top line from bottom line, what is your margins?
Well, it's been fluctuating. So when we went through the tornado, I know it sounds crazy, but it's the most profitable year that we had because I didn't have anybody. It's kind of the rubber meets the road kind of thing.
Yeah.
God would call about six people real quick to not work for me anymore.
Okay.
Because it was time to get after it. As far as building, you know, cleaning up.
Yeah.
Doing all the hard stuff, running cars. And a lot of people are not built like that.
No, they aren't. You're right.
And so I had a lot of people's like, hey, man, I'm tired. I'm like, well, God must be calling you somewhere else because we got to go.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds insensitive.
No, it doesn't.
But we just, it's kind of deceptive on my books, but, you know, we were about 16%, you know, to 22%. And then we kind of, so I took all my resources over this last year and we've purchased new equipment, purchased new stuff for the shop. So I've had a lot of outgo cash flow wise. And we were very fortunate. We had my wife, again, a saver, so she's been banking everything.
Sure.
Because we didn't know what was faced. We were way underinsured on the
front
end. And just very fortunate to make some good decisions early on before interest rates started spiking to get some. We were able to convert our construction loan, which was a fairly large amount of money that we had to borrow.
Okay.
And so we were able to secure that early on at a low interest rate, so we capped it out. Turn around, reinvest it.
Yeah.
And capitalize on
the low rate.
Our low rate and higher interest rates now.
Good for you.
And so, but we were very positioned. We took a beating this past year.
Okay. Why?
Well, we just had some money. We spent, and I hate to throw out numbers, but we spent $235,000 on our shop. So we borrowed, my building, I had $544,000 for the insurance on my building. It cost me $1.36 to build it back.
To build it back. Golly.
So that was just the building.
Yeah.
So you get the big A fan, you get the generator, you get the heat.
All that.
Talking about for the shop. And then all the stuff in the shop, you know, we were replacing some trucks that I tell everybody, you know, like I said, they were kind of roughed up over the storm, and we slid some out, and we were able to pay cash for some of that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were trying not to have a lot of indebtedness, I guess.
No doubt, yeah.
And again, we bought two trucks last year, and my accountant lady, she about had a heart attack, but it's, you know, we spent about $1.2 million on two trucks.
Yeah.
And, but we just didn't want to continue to use our capital odds, you know.
Sure. Money,
you know.
But the spending the big money on the two trucks, though, they'll pay for themselves. I mean, there's a difference. I tell my kids all this all the time, and my kids are 15, 12, and 8. There's a difference in good debt and bad debt.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if you've got someone paying for that debt, so $1.2 million for two trucks. But if those two trucks are bringing in, let's just throw a number out there. What will one truck bring in? You tell me.
It's hard to say. I ran some numbers yesterday because it's $300,000 on the biggest one.
So hold on 1 second. So you've spent, let's just call, you said 1.2 on two trucks. So you're calling it $600,000 on a truck, roundabout.
One was seven, one was a little bit.
But still, let's just call it six. 1.2 divided by two is $600,000.
Yeah.
$600,000 on one truck.
Potentially.
And you're telling me it will bring in $250,000 to $300,000 a truck per year? Top line?
Hopefully.
But let's call it 200.
Yeah.
Let's call it 200.
It generates that revenue. Now that the margins get smaller.
No question.
So you got to, and that's another thing that I learned early on was I could have an old truck and fit work on it all the time and spend all my money working on it. Or I buy a new truck and look pretty cool and not spend as much on maintenance. It's one way or the other. And it's a capital intensive business.
No question. But $200,000 on a $600,000 investment is pretty darn good.
Yeah. And that, we've had a, now, and I hate, you know, everybody talks about being in the towing business.
Yeah.
I hate snow. I hate ice.
Yeah.
I hate it. But this little spurt we had, we were able to, it helped us turn the year off because the year ended up, we really struggled at the last quarter of the year.
Yeah.
Just things started turning down. And so that little ice storm kicked it up a notch, you know.
And like, so it's like for us, you know, we had there was a fire over in McCalla, and they needed the company that's doing all the stuff, they needed catering. So it's a horrible thing for them.
Right.
Like the ice is not good for anybody, but the fire's helping us.
Yeah, yeah.
Because January, February is slow for catering. Everybody right. spent all their money in December. Everybody spent all their money back in the last quarter of the year.
Right.
And so the first quarter of the year is typically slower for catering. So we had a little contract, man. It's helped us a ton.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with things like that.
We get to love on everybody.
That's right. That's right.
But it was good.
Good. If someone in the Birmingham area needs to find you, Hurst Towing, where can they find you? Obviously, you can look it up online, but where's they
sold? 1620 Carson Road North.
Okay.
It's a Birmingham address. I'm in the city of Fultonville. I've got a garden, no phone number.
So we're
the best of all the worlds, but right in the edge of in the industrial park in Fultonville. If you get off at the 267 exit, which is Walker's Chapel, turn right, and we're about 3 miles on the right.
So someone want to get in touch with you. So whether it be consulting or someone knows somebody, what's the best place to get in touch with you?
You can call my cell phone.
Okay. You want to give it out?
205-368-3091.
One more time. Do it again.
205-368-3091.
If you know anything, need any help with
tow? But I mean, anything like that. Yeah. Don't call me for a tow.
call me to get my car.
Don't tow a tow. You know, and I hate to say that because I got people, you know, I mean, that,
sure.
And I'm not, Deb is kind of on me in our, about my phone. So that's a hard thing is 37 years of answering my phone. And so turning that off to where, you know, I've had to get up and go 24 hours, 7 days a week forever. And so the hardest thing for me to do is just leave my phone alone.
Yeah, totally.
And so I have to, devote my...
Put it away.
Put it away.
I get it.
And so don't call my cell phone if you need your car towed, but...
if you want a consulting, golly.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe I can help figure out how to do some things.
That's great. Hey, Lynn, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you,
great.
Man,
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you.